KEY today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Anthony Sanchez continuing his discussion about discovering this colonel, this whistleblower about Dulce, New Mexico, and what's going on there. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, Anthony, let's continue with the information you unearthed.
Absolutely. So, not to be discouraged after calling the military personnel records custodian in both St. Louis, Missouri, and then the National Archives and Records Administration in College Park, Maryland, whereas I was now being told that they don't know what that stuff means, what those terms mean, I called up the township of Dulce, and I spoke with an individual from the Department of Interior Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Southwestern Region Hickory Agency, and I asked him, is there any military presence there in the town of Dulce or even in the entire county of Rio Arriba? And their answer was an emphatic no. I asked them if there was a recruiting office, because I said, okay, fine. Maybe he was just a recruiter and he's making up this story because he knew of all of the hoopla around Dulce, and maybe he was there at a recruiting office. And they said there are no recruiting offices there. In fact, they said there hasn't been a major military presence in Dulce since the U.S. Cavalry last passed through there. So, not to be, you know, completely thrown off, and I had to be absolutely sure about this, I called the Bureau of Indian Affairs Freedom of Information Act coordinator, Ms. Cheryl Vigil. That's who I spoke to. And of course, I was simply told I needed to file. But now this is what really got me, this really piqued my interest. But she told me, but that expecting anything regarding the military presence would be almost impossible. And disappointingly, I asked her to tell me why, and she wouldn't say why. So the DD-214 is from the federal government. It's hard to contest in its validity. To me, the colonel is telling the truth. I have to go by the fact and the irony that it was our own U.S. federal government that proved to me who this guy is and what he says, he did and where he did it. So there's some unknown, heavily classified military presence right there in Dulce, New Mexico, but no one's talking about it. And I'm going to make the DD-214 available to everybody to see. And, it is redacted in some places, his name and his Social Security number, but all the major stuff is there. And I've already shown this to people like Dennis Balthaser, Norio Hayakawa, John Greenwald, Jr., there's people that have seen this already, and these are trained eyes. These are people that have sniffed out fake DD-214s in the past, and they know damn well this is the real thing. So that's what makes me happy about all of this. The other thing was I actually had the colonel submit to a polygraph examination, two of them independently on one day. I only had a small amount of time with this guy, but I essentially architected a set of questions, and he knew that he was being asked these questions under the premise that they were entirely about Dulce and his military career, and he passed them with flying colors. So that's why I put this in the book. I mean,
are you going to make those results available as well?
I don't know. Maybe. Possibly. People are going to ask, and so I'll probably do that. The one thing that I am doing, though, Chris, is my interview with the colonel was on audio. I had 3 hours of audio. We actually met for 6 hours, but it resulted in about 3 hours of audio of his testimony. I am going to make that available. The only condition was that I don't know how to do it. I got to contact somebody who can help me disguise his voice. So, and it's off of a little digi recorder. So if they can figure that out, I'll make sure that happens.
Maybe we'll assign Chris or myself for doing it, because there are ways to just change the frequency of the voice, make it deeper, make it higher. We don't want it to sound like helium, I remember one time one of the shock jocks, this happens quite often in a lot of cities, but I remember Howard Stern doing it, and he probably was ahead of everybody else. They would inhale helium on the air. And everybody would speak appropriately. Okay, so you have taken the colonel's background information. You've confirmed that he is real.
Yeah.
So we're pretty sure that Dulce is real, too?
Well, my gut feeling tells me that this guy is telling the truth, and I believe now that there is something there at Dulce. But more so because of the research I did when people didn't want to talk about it. So that kind of sent the signal to me, you know, I had a skeptical nature about this whole thing, and when people don't want to talk about something that supposedly doesn't even exist, that sends out signals, and people didn't want to talk about what could or could not be at Dulce. And I was just asking, you know, upfront questions. What does Rio Arriba CO, DSD hyphen 3 mean? And I get, that's classified. And then later on I get, we don't know what it means. So you tell me.
I've got a quick question. How did the colonel actually get your name, and why did he, what was his reason for contacting you and selecting you as a person to divulge what we're going to be talking about here?
That's right. Yeah, so this goes back to when I was working at the semiconductor company, and I met this individual who, after they left the company a year later, they ended up contacting me back, and the shared interest that we had while the person was working there was UFOs, conspiracies, and my blog. I had a blog at the time, which was all about the work that I did on HARP and Project Bluebeam, and, you know, UFO news and stuff like that. So they called me back, and this person who originally had an English accent calls me back a year later after they're gone from the company, and we start talking, and in the middle of the conversation, they drop their English accent.
Sounds like an actor. Like, we have a lot of British actors who speak American, like Hugh Laurie on House, and we have a lot of American actors and actresses who do great British accents.
Yeah, this guy was the real deal, man. He had it down. And I hate to say this on the air because I don't want to get people mad at me for bringing them up, but my mother-in-law is English, so I know English accents. I know an English accent. And anyhow, he drops the English accents, and lo and behold, he drops his bomb on me, and he says, that wasn't my real identity. I was working under assumed identity. I'm part of this intelligence channel that's part of which is these group of people that are underground, AWOL and in hiding from the federal government or whatever. He said I was on this satellite defense system and working for a federal contractor over by Moffett Field in the Bay Area. And, he was a conscientious objector or whatever, and he went AWOL from the project, and he's in hiding, and he's in big trouble, apparently. So he's part of this group, and this group has a connection to some higher-level group called COM-12. And I don't know much about COM-12 other than what, you know, I was able to learn through Norio Hayakawa and some various resources that I found on the Internet, but it's some type of a group that is working in the backgrounds, fighting against other malevolent organizations within the shadow government or whatever that have infiltrated our regular government. I don't know. But this person knows the colonel through their intelligence channel, and the colonel was interested in talking with me because of something that I had written in one of my blogs with regards to alien-human hybridization. I just had a theory, and it was there for anyone to read, and apparently he had read it, was interested in talking with me, and that was the catalyst to him wanting to tell me everything.
Why don't you tell our listeners, and we only have about a minute left with this section before we go to the next section on the show, tell our listeners briefly what was in this blog that might have attracted someone's attention.
I think it was the fact that I had done a lot of work on uncovering evidence of modern humans having been genetically engineered at some point in our past. Not unlike the evidence that Lloyd Pye and several other academics have discovered.
I'll go along with the academics discovering something. Lloyd Pye is not an academic as far as
I
know.
No, I'm not calling him.
And also his particular skull or whatever it is, you know, we've explored that subject ad infinitum on the PowerCast in several of our episodes, and we don't find much value in that story. Now, maybe he's got more evidence now than he did then.
No.
So as you might imagine, in light of the shows we've run on that subject, we have some very serious questions about it. We'll go into that in a moment. We have Anthony Sanchez. The forthcoming book is UFO Highway. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. You're in
the PowerCast.
there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Are you fed up with government of, by, and for the banksters and gangsters? Are you ready for a patriotic newspaper that pulls no punches, that tells it the way it is about the forces that have taken over and are destroying the United States from within? The Nationalist Times has been informing and educating Americans every month since 1985. The Nationalist Times features outstanding writers and columnists who promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning cultural Marxist Party line. If you believe it's far past time to get America back on track, you need to be reading America's best political publication. Find out why the Nationalist Times has many thousands of loyal readers. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times for the special introductory rate of just $29 for 1 year. Subscribe today by sending $29 to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's $29 for 1 year to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Anthony Sanchez. We're talking about Dulce and about the possibilities. Is it real? We'll have to see. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So before we broke, I was throwing cold water on Lloyd Pye. Let's take him out of the picture. Lloyd Pye doesn't exist. There he goes. He vanishes away. The trickster sends him away into the Phantom Zone, along with General Zod in the Phantom Zone. Okay.
So I actually have evidence of, to help support this hypothesis establishes the foundation for proof that humans were transformed over the last 200,000 years at an artificially accelerated pace directly from genetic manipulation by somebody. I mean, we didn't know how to do this 200,000 years ago. Now, I mentioned Lloyd Pye's name because he's already touched on this subject. Lloyd Pye doesn't have a degree in research, geneticists, and whatever. So I don't really want to harp on Lloyd for that. I mean, he just brought it up. And he did bring up some valid points, but he goes off onto a tangent, which I don't even touch. I take a very, very structured academic approach to this, and I cite a lot of people from credible universities, so from around the world. So, all that I do is I examine evidence that shows us how, early hominids transformed into modern Homo sapien over the last 200,000 years rapidly at an artificially accelerated pace. And I even give the scientific proof showing how our genome was subjected to heavy genetic engineering. And I covered that heavily. Science incorrectly teaches us that we share a 98.5 to 99% DNA similarity. Well, I found the work by a very, very well-known research geneticist who proves that there's a less than a 70% similarity between us and other hominids, specifically our closest cousin, the common chimpanzee.
I'm not sure about that. You might want to check that percentage out.
Chris, you're going to want to read my book then, because I have some very, very shocking stuff that I share here, and there's some really, really good stuff in there. And it forces us to rethink our lineal origins, and that's all that I was doing. In my blog, talks about how in 2005, a well-known research geneticist published, this paper on this whole subject. And I really don't want to get into that because we're talking about Delphi. But there was some stuff within that, within the confines of that topic that piqued the interest of the colonel, because I touch on alien-human hybridization, which is something that he claims happens based on the writings that were found in the Delphi Caverns. What they found were...
Hold on. Let's set it up a little bit. Give our listeners an idea of who the colonel was, what the particular detachment he was involved with, give a little background on actually what happened in the 40s, like you explained to me, in terms of the initial discovery. Kind of wind it back a little bit in the timeline and take it from there.
Okay, so the colonel actually worked as part of this larger unit. It was a medical unit, but he worked on a really, really small classified medical detachment out of McClellan Air Force Base, which is in North Highlands, California, by Sacramento, California. And what he did was he responded to these Type X events. And there was something that was like some type of a classified exercise taking place, and there was like an accident or an injury, or maybe even resulting in the death, and it was some type of like a traumatic event or whatever, but it was part of something classified, or it dealt with something they didn't understand, like a UFO or some type of unknown aerial phenomena. This is what his group responded to.
So they responded to medical emergencies, in other words, that had to do with something classified.
Yes. They immediately were flown on site to these locations as soon as they possibly could be. I asked him to give me a specific example of one of these, and this is available for everybody to read right now at UFOHighway.com. If you click on the Dulce interview link there, that whole first snippet talks about this Type X event that occurred near Fort Irwin. And I did my research, and I found that there was, in fact, something that had occurred there by Fort Irwin around the time that he mentioned involving a C-130E Hercules, and there were deaths. I couldn't confirm that this was the event that he's talking about, but I did find that there had been something. So again, it's just more evidence to this that's telling me that the guy's telling the truth. So what he did was a behavioral and psychological analysis. If he had to lend a hand with triage or whatever, they would, because they were trained to do this. But his job was to see, is this person fit for duty, to return to duty? And he said he had the power to execute a medical discharge immediately if they felt that there was some type of compromise, and in fact, to whatever the classified event was, if somebody went crazy because of what they'd seen, or they couldn't handle what it was they were encountering, he had that type of authority. And so, in 1979, he had received a set of orders to report to this place called, to a facility in Dulce, New Mexico. And he had never heard of Dulce, New Mexico. In fact, none of the people he had worked with had ever heard of Dulce, New Mexico. So, one, that was perplexing. Two, this was the first time he had ever received a set of orders that had come in with a stamp from the Department of Energy. See, these type X events that he worked on were limited to this Air Force / CIA periphery, and they didn't work outside of that. And I guess the CIA was involved because of the nature of some of the events and the classification levels or whatever. But this was the first time he said he had ever seen anything from the Department of Energy. And he talks about how, they made it so that this was a very, very small, specialized unit that was being sent. You know, he was already part of a classified group. But this group was, he was reporting to a brigadier general over at Edwards Air Force Base. He didn't even know who it was. And there was another major. He was a major at the time. He was reporting with another major who he'd only worked with briefly. And these guys were all selected for a specific reason, and they figured it out. They all had the same personality type. Nothing freaked these guys out, and that's why they were chosen. So they were heading into something and that they had to be prepared for on the way there. They were given briefing documents which detailed the background of the facility that they were going to, and he initially thought that he was reading briefing documents that were talking about American Indians. And later, on the way there, he realized, oh, my God, this is about a species, a different, some type of sentient, intelligent species. It had nothing to do with the American Indians like he had believed, and it started talking about inhabitants of this subterranean complex that they were going to be reporting to.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that in a moment with Anthony Sanchez. Forthcoming book is UFO Highway, and we're trying to assess what might have happened over at Dulce, New Mexico. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
10 years. Genesis. A decade of talk.
Genesis.
Great Talk Radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I should tell you that I do not tell people like Chris O'Brien or Nicholas Redfern how to do the signature, the Paracast. They make it up themselves. I take no responsibility because if it sounds like one big mess, I didn't do it. Our co-hosts, of course, Chris O'Brien. We have Anthony Sanchez joining us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and now the rest of the story. We continue to explore what might have gone on at Dulce, New Mexico.
That's right. So the colonel was en route from Edwards Air Force Base to Dulce. And while he was being flown there, he was going to these briefing documents, which essentially had like this compact version of this history of the people or the inhabitants that lived there. You know, again, he thought they were American Indians, and then he didn't, you know, it wasn't until he made eye contact with the other major, and they both looked at each other and essentially realized what they were reading. But there were several copies of the briefing documents, and that's an important part of the story that, you know, is mentioned later on, because the colonel actually was able to retain his set. There was a lieutenant commander from the Navy that they met up with there at Dulce, and when he turned in his copy, three sets had been returned back, the brigadier generals, the majors, and the lieutenant commander, this Navy officer. So nobody thought, you know, they thought that they had received all three briefing documents from their contingent back, and I guess no one ever thought to ask, you know, where a fourth set was. Anyhow, that's how he has all this knowledge, not to mention the fact, I really hate to do this, because this really sucks, because this is part of the book that was supposed to be a shocker, but the colonel ended up working for DSD-3, which is the intelligence agency that operates the Dulce facility. And he had access to the DSD-3 personnel and historical repositories, these database systems, and there's a whole bunch more stuff that, you know, I can go into with regards to what he had access to, and it's all there in the book, including this this system, which was just developed by the NSA. It's part of an offshoot of the Signal Intelligence which is called Echo, and then I mentioned that in the book, and that's really important too, because apparently many underground facilities use this system called Echo, and I detail it in the book. But back to the briefing documents, they arrive at Delphi, and essentially they arrive within, I think, 24 to 48 hours after some major engagement had taken place there between the inhabitants and DSD-3 forces. And when they get there, a demilitarized zone has been enacted. I mean, a real DMZ set up right here within our own borders. And that's how serious, right? It triggered a set of protocols enacting the DMZ. And they get there, and there's a whole bunch of stuff I can go into. Let's just say he arrives and he finds a whole other world that he was not prepared for. Even though the Air Force thought he would be, you know, prepared for it because he had the right personality type, not even the Brigadier General was prepared for what they had come into contact with. So,
Why don't you give us some background on the actual history going back into the 40s? I found this part of the story when we talked really fascinating. Why don't you describe to the listeners exactly the initial discovery and why the team that discovered this underground complex was actually poking around looking for a facility location? Why don't you kind of dial it back to the 40s real quick?
Okay, so we have to go back a little bit further, you know, further than 1940 to talk about what had transpired there in the Four Corners region. As you know, we had been searching for a home for our atomic development, which was being architected by the Uranium Committee, and which had been triggered by the Einstein-Szilard letter that helped us establish essentially the Manhattan Project. We had pilots actually flying over the entire Four Corners region, probably extending all the way out to San Luis Valley. We know that they were up in Nevada and probably parts of Arizona even. But there was a lot of interest in New Mexico because of the terrain there, you know, especially with the closeness to the White Sands and then leading up to the montane-like mountainous desert regions of, like, northern New Mexico, like in Delphi and stuff, you know. They had found this plateau, this Archuleta Mesa, interesting piece of land, and they had sent this group that they had hand-selected from Muroc Army Airfield. They were called the Muroc Expedition, and these were a set of guys. They had surveyors, they had, sharpshooters, and the colonel in his testimony had said that, he goes, this is going to sound old-fashioned by your standards, he goes, but you have to remember that back in those days, you know, they had, this was like a specialized unit. This was like a special forces squad or whatever. You know, they had specialists in all these different areas. And they even had, the colonel says that they had cavers. And he says, you know, we call those spelunkers today, but back in the 40s, they called them cavers, cave experts, people who were, you know, adept at climbing up and down the, you know, cavernous type, you know, walls or whatever. So anyhow, this Muroc expedition found this massive cavern that was right there along the side, and I don't know which side, but one of the sides of the Archuleta Mesa, where we would see fragmentary columnar basalt, the rock on the side making up the apparently there was a cavern, and it's been covered up since it's covered up, and it's not there anymore. We can't see it, but back then people used to walk into this cavern all the time. I mean, it was, you know, if you've ever been to northern New Mexico and northern Arizona, you see these gigantic, massive caverns, and, well, there was one right there, and it's gone now because it's been cleverly disguised. But anyhow, these guys, these soldiers in 1940 had discovered this cavern, and inside of it was a 7-level subterranean facility the size of a small city. And they discovered this by chance. And it was nestled smack dab in the center of the Archuleta Mesa, up against one of the walls. Anyway, it led right into the heart of the mesa. And, again, the discovery came about when they began scouting areas of New Mexico for potential sites to house our atomic development. But what was interesting is what they found inside. When they first walked inside the cavern, and again, the book goes into a really, really great detail about this, and I'm just quickly paraphrasing, they found evidence of a battle that had taken place between Apache warriors, and initially they thought possibly outlaws or cavalry or other Apache warriors. But the further they got in, they found small, you know, diminutive type remains with enlarged heads and huge eye sockets. And their clothing was unlike nothing that the Apaches were wearing. And they were able to determine when this fighting had most likely occurred based on the fact that they found Colt revolvers, Winchester repeater rifles, ammunition of the type, spent and unspent ammunition. And again, they had found a bunch of weaponry that was of the Native American indigenous type weapons. You know, some blades with like cloth or leather type, banding around the handles and whatever they used. I mean, they were able to use that type of evidence to determine that, you know, the fighting had occurred initially between 1840 and 1870, and by the end they assumed, through the supposition based on what they were finding, that it was indeed closer to the 1870 mark. They found this evidence of a battle, and they also found equipment. They found, now remember, this is 1940, so there were no laptops, there were no digital recorders, you know, all of this is being recorded by journals, handwritten. There were several people within the unit that had been designated to handwrite all this stuff.
We'll pick up on that in our next segment with Anthony Sanchez. Hey there, would you like to join the Paracast team? Well, we are looking for an experienced sales and marketing person, someone who has handled the online world and knows about social networks. If you have experience in broadcasting, that's one huge plus. If you meet the bill, if you're the candidate, please send your message to sales@theparacast.com. That's sales@theparacast.com. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now, 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer Large 250 capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Anthony Sanchez is talking about some fascinating discovery here that we want to explore a little bit further. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. Anthony, I had to interrupt you for the station break. Let's pick up on this.
Got it. So in the reports that had been prepared by the soldiers who were told to record what they had found, they found that this uninhabited upper level, which where they were initially, had what appeared to be ancient artifacts interspersed among modern-looking but unfamiliar machines. They wrote that on some walls they were covered with what, now remember, this is 1940. They said it was covered with what looked like massive radar screens. There also appeared to be individual personnel stations, fitted with, which could be cryptography machines or what appeared to be electric typewriters. I mean, these guys didn't have a clue as to what they were looking at. And remember, all the terminology that we're getting to these briefings, to these reports, is based on what they, you know, they knew, what they understood at the time. So one soldier had even wrote, "Everything we're finding is highly sophisticated in design, way beyond our latest military electronic equipment. It looks to be German, possibly." So, this is what they were finding. The commanding officer wrote that in each of the rooms there appeared to be devices, small devices similar to electronic television sets, maybe German in appearance, and some of them were even immense in size, flat, covering almost every wall that they saw wherever there was equipment or electric machines nearby. He says that at first they thought they were windows, but they could see that somehow these were not, that they were part of these machines. They found thick black cables with lighted wires inside. They appeared to be like glass, but were physically malleable without causing damage, even when twisting or bending them. You know, extruding from the ends of the wires, there were bundles of like exposed glass wires with lighted ends that seemed to have been, you know, severed for some reason. They were blinking, transmitting signals of some kind, but they didn't know what it was, where the power source was. These are the types of things that they found, and they were unfamiliar with all of it. Back to the fighting, they had found these Colt revolvers, these Winchester repeater rifles, and this was stuff that was strewn about everywhere, showing that there had been some type of violent altercation there. The deeper they went, they started to realize that they were not alone. There were lower levels to this facility, and they had gone down to like a second level of the facility, and they realized that there was somebody or something in there. Could have been animal, could have been other humans, or could have been these things that they found, these small bodies that they had found. They were not sure. But What ended up happening was that they did position themselves there at the entrance of the cavern and somewhat inside of that upper level to this cavernous facility that they had found. And they started removing everything. The commanding officer had the sense of mind to tell these soldiers to not touch anything until they had experts come in and evaluate everything and then, you know, remove it with, you know, cautionary, you know, protocol. And as they were moving these things, eventually they started hearing sounds, noises, and I don't want to go too much into detail about that aspect of it, but two of these soldiers had actually broken away, disobeyed orders when they were about to leave the facility, and they had an encounter with the inhabitants on a much, much lower level, and all hell broke loose after that, and one of them was captured, and the other one was running back, and I really don't want to go into too much detail about that because that's for the book, and it's a really, really interesting part of this testimony.
I'll tell you what, though. We should discuss the detail to at least give our listeners a full picture of what's going on in terms of the initial exposure, and then, of course, when the book comes out, they can read all the details.
Yeah, so they began to find rooms, more discoveries of equipment, you know, all throughout this facility. And, well, why don't I go ahead and just, you know, tell you about these sheets that they found. They found these metallic sheets. And this is the interesting part, which I really liked about this testimony because it gave it a real, real human grounded, base. They found these metallic sheets, thousands of them everywhere. They found, like, libraries and stuff. These sheets were essentially, you know, stacked up in these type of, like, you know, enclosures within the walls or whatever. And on them, with machine-like precision, were these etchings. And the etchings were so significant to this whole find because what they found on them was an Akkadian-like cuneiform writing system.
What were the sheets made out of?
They had to have been, I don't know, but I do know that they're at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base right now, and the last person to have seen them.
How do you know that? You know that they're at Wright-Patterson? How do you know that?
Because that's what the colonel told me.
Okay, so you know that he told you that.
Yeah, so I have to go off the assumption that, well, remember, guys, I'm going off the assumption that he's telling the truth, else this wouldn't even be in my book. Now, he's saying that these sheets, all of them, well, all of the artifacts from Dulce that were found initially in the 40s are now at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in something called the Vault.
Right, the word is allegedly.
Allegedly, got it. Okay, so now I'll agree to that. I'll acquiesce to that. Allegedly, all of these artifacts are in some warehouse at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base behind something called the Vault. And the Vault is something that once it's in there, it would take an act of God for it to ever come back out. It
sounds like a Warehouse 13 in reality, as opposed to the Sci-Fi Channel show. All right, let me ask you another question here. Did the colonel tell you what else is there in the vault, or is it just these items that were recovered in this cave?
All I know is based on what he told me, and it was just these items from the cave, which, I mean, these items alone are of major importance and interest, and of interest. I mean, to people like me, I'm with a computer background, it's amazing.
We don't think that the Nazis maybe had some advanced technology we didn't know about, and that they employed this stuff. Do you think it's representative of a secret society on Earth, or ET, or what?
That's interesting that you would bring that up, because the Greys are not the only non-human species on this planet. There's another species which actually started out as, like the Greys, they were totally alien, but now they, because of circumstances, they were forced to create this alien-human hybrid for, you know, to perpetuate the species to continue, else they wouldn't be able to survive on the planet. And that, now, this is the apples and oranges part of the story. This is going to drive people nuts.
I'll tell you what already, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of stuff here that people will find incredible, so I don't think we can make them any more nuts than they might already be. Okay?
Okay.
Good point, Gene.
So let me just go ahead and jump to this section really quickly. So people want to know the history. How did these grays get in the Dulce Caverns in the first place, right? And you guys want to know that, right? I wanted to know that. So I said, well, where did they even come from? So apparently, a million years ago, a progenitor race of aliens came to our solar system.
Wait a minute. A million years ago?
A million years ago, progenitor race of aliens came to our solar system from Sirius B to inhabit Mars. On Mars, they thrived and lived successfully until one day, unexpectedly, some catastrophic event occurred. An asteroid destroyed the planet and nearly all of its inhabitants, which were these progenitors. They left Sirius B for whatever reason, I don't know. And he doesn't even mention that. So that was that long ago. Now, when I did my research to that part of the story, one of the possible connections I found was that there's this West African culture called the Dogon who perform a ritual every 6 years to honor Sirius and Sirius A and Sirius B. Apparently they believe extraterrestrials came from Sirius, and that's who they're honoring, and I go into that in the book. But anyway, after the catastrophe, the progenitor race left Mars to Earth to avert a complete extinction. On Earth, although oxygen was plentiful, its environment had very low levels of, like, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, which were what they needed to thrive, and that's why they were at Mars in the first place. So the progenitor race decided to live on Earth, but they were dying.
Okay, let's go into this legend or the story of the progenitor race in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Sanchez joining us on the PowerCast this week. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.